Welcome to Heart Healthy Living with Dr. Jackie, a Big Blend radio podcast that features Dr. Jacqueline Ubani, a board-certified cardiologist and electrophysiologist and author of the best-selling book, Women and Heart Disease, The Real Story. Everybody, May is Women's Heart Month, or I should say Heart Month, Health Month. I've got heart health on the brain. You know why? Because today is the debut of our new Big Blend radio podcast called Heart Healthy Living with Dr. Jackie. Dr. Jacqueline Ubani has been on our show for a number of years, but now it's time to have a actual show with her where she gets to bring the fun factor to heart healthy living, taking care of our hearts. This show airs every second Wednesday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. So Dr. Jacqueline Ubani, she is a board certified cardiologist and an electrophysiologist, and she is the author of the best-selling book, Women and Heart Disease, The Real Story. So every podcast, we are going to be covering one topic that has to do with heart health. You're going to learn a medical term. Yeah, you know that fine print. And when your doctor says something and you're all freaked out and you go, what was that? I can't even spell it. She's going to do it. She's going to explain it to us. She's going to give us prevention tips. She's going to talk about food. We always want to find something good to eat that's not going to kill us, right? And of course, like I said, the fun factor is all about it. So go to Women and Heart Disease Book. .com to learn more. She's also on Facebook. So Dr. Jackie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I keep saying it's Women's Heart Health Month. Even all my notes keep saying that because I got heart health stuck in my brain. It's your fault. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yes,
right?
It's a good thing. It's a good thing to be focused on women's heart health.
Yeah. You know, let's kind of just go backwards. You know, when you started with us, you had just published your book, Women's Heart Health, Women and Heart Disease, The Real Story. You just published that book and it, you know, got into the best-selling list and you've done really well with that and really spread the word about women's heart health. And we always, you know, we've talked about this on the show before that we often look at, you know, men having a heart attack and they're doing the big fall down, you know, but we rarely know about women and what's going on. But, you know, I've have to know, like, what was it about women that you said, okay, I'm going to focus on women's heart health for the book versus for everyone?
Well, I wanted to focus on women and heart disease specifically, because I, you know, as a practicing cardiologist and seeing patients in the hospital and in the ER, I was finding that women and also doctors were not quite aware that heart disease was the number one killer of women. I was seeing that women tended to be misdiagnosed, or women coming in with heart attacks or heart disease tended to be misdiagnosed because it just wasn't the thing that doctors were thinking about when women, you know, come to the ER with their symptoms. And their symptoms were not quite typical, not all the time anyway, typical for heart disease. So, you know, they were being missed because no one was thinking about it, so they weren't being tested and treated early. And and women just didn't know. They didn't know. They were coming into the hospital much later in the diagnosis. Whereas for men, you know, men know the classic signs and symptoms. Everybody expects that to be a man coming in. So whenever a man comes in with chest pain, he gets diagnosed really quickly. He gets treated really quickly, which then adds to, you know, better prognosis long term. And I was seeing it a lot different for women. So I decided that I needed to start educating women about heart disease so that we can both be on the, you know, the equal playing field, you know, so we can have better prognosis and, you know, better, a longer life and a healthier lives.
Well, the other thing too, is you've made us all very aware is that heart disease for women is really serious. And I think whenever we think of women in any kind of health aspect, the first thing we think is cancer, right? Breast cancer, ovarian cancer, you know, we go into the reproductive side of things, but a lot of times it's not really heart health. And yet this is actually one of the most deadliest diseases for women, right?
Yes, yes. And I actually thought of the idea from watching the breast cancer people. They did such an excellent job educating women about breast cancer. You know, most women know something about breast cancer, whereas for heart disease, it wasn't the same kind of response. Women didn't really know much. So the idea was to, you know, copy what they're doing and, you know, the excellent job they did in educating women and, you know, applying that to heart disease in women so that, you know, we can have better outcomes and better health.
So is heart disease still number one in regards to being the number one killer of women in the United States?
It still is number one in women and in men. It's the number one cause of
Whoa.
disease in the whole United States. Yeah, for both genders.
Hey, yay, yay. We got a lot of work to do, Dr. Jackie. I don't know. We might have to be more than monthly. Everybody, every second Wednesday, just saying Wellness Wednesdays, right? I love this that we can do that on the show, but that's a lot, like when you think about it. And yet a lot of times, okay, so heart disease is often something that could be genetic, but then it's also about our lifestyle. And I think that's something that you've always stressed is lifestyle.
Absolutely. Studies show that you can decrease your risk for heart disease by up to 80% just by implementing some lifestyle changes. So lifestyle is actually very important when it comes to heart health.
Okay, so lifestyle, and that's what we're here for. Yeah, we're here for having some fun and changing the lifestyle because we all know we don't like to do big changes, right? But sometimes it's really important so we have a happy, healthy life and, you know, all that good stuff. We want to be happy, healthy, and have a good time doing it. So that's what I love about you is you always make things fun. But I want to get to the term of the month, okay? Since you're an electrophysiologist and you had to teach me how to pronounce it, everyone knows I mess up everything in words. That's why we do podcasts. But electrophysiologist, which I can now pronounce, what exactly is that?
So what I deal with is the electricity of the heart and the abnormalities in
Ooh.
Electricity. So as you know, as you may know or may not, the heart needs electricity in order to generate the energy it needs to pump blood forward. And this electricity is represented by, you know, when you feel your heartbeat, that's electricity causing the heart to pump. So
Wow.
my field, I deal with electrical abnormalities. So these include your heart going too fast or your heart rate's going too slow. And they can manifest in a whole bunch of symptoms like chest pain, shortness of breath, lightheadedness. So basically, I take care of all abnormal heart rhythms.
Wow. Do we pump enough electricity that we can charge a car?
No.
No, but that's interesting about electricity in our bodies, right? Because it's true. I mean, we even static electricity lets you reminds us that we have that kind of energy in our bodies. You know, I think we
Yes.
forget that we have
Yes.
that. And so it's like a sound wave, right? Whenever we see that heartbeat thing, you know, those sound waves,
Right.
it's the same
Yes,
thing,
yes.
right? It's connected.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
we forget about electricity until there's a problem, and then we know that there we know that we need normal electricity in order to feel well.
So we don't want the lights to go off, is what you're saying. We
No,
want
we
to
don't want
keep.
the lights.
No, we don't. We don't want the electricity to go
No.
out. We wanted to keep it going.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you're.
Absolutely.
I always thought it's when you brought those big paddles out.
Well, so that's, when you need those paddles, it means there's an electrical problem. Your heart rate is going too fast. And with it going too fast, you are not pumping blood adequately. And, you know, blood carries oxygen and nutrients that the body, specifically the brain, needs to stay alive. So when you are not pumping blood because the electrical activity is just going out of control, then you die. So you need the paddles to try to convert you back into a normal rhythm so that your heart can pump and get
Okay.
oxygen and nutrients to the rest of your body.
So you're an electrician of the body.
That
This is
you
good.
can say that. You can say that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Does it connect with your breathing? With what happens?
No, well, I mean, I guess indirectly, because,
okay.
you know, you need oxygen and nutrients so that the rest of your organ system can function normally. If you are not getting adequate oxygen, then you're going to eventually stop breathing and, you know, pass away. So, yes. Yeah, so
so everything we're looking
indirectly,
at
yes.
is we need to look at our heart as like the electrical unit. We are, that is your, you know, your electrical box in your house, you know, so you want to keep everything going. And so when you think about this too, we're talking about women's, you know, health month and women's heart health. I just keep wanting to say heart health. It just is stuck in my brain. It's a good thing, like you said, but one thing I do want to touch on is the fact that women do not present a heart attack the same as a man, right? So can you tell everyone some symptoms of what a heart attack looks like for a woman so that we can recognize that if it's our mother, our, you know, it's Mother's Day coming up, we don't want that to happen. And it's, you know, our sisters, our coworkers, our friends, you could be in a restaurant and someone maybe, you know, showing it and we don't realize that, hey, that's actually a heart attack, because it really sounds so hard to figure out that that's actually a heart attack.
So, yeah, so the typical signs and symptoms of a heart attack, the classics, you know, signs include the chest pain or chest pressure. And I know you guys have seen the pictures of men having a heart attack and grabbing their chest and reaching out for help. So the typical signs and symptoms are chest pressure, sweating, and shortness of breath. So we know that our data shows that women do have chest pain when they're having a heart attack, but maybe slightly over 50% of them do. But about 40% or so do not have those classic signs and symptoms. They can have symptoms as nonspecific as just being fatigued, not feeling well, not being able to articulate what you're feeling, nausea, vomiting, shortness of breath. So just sometimes very nonspecific symptoms. And this has led to, you know, misdiagnosis in the ER. Because when you come in with fatigue, no one is really thinking that you are having a heart attack or you had a heart attack a few days ago. Because So nonspecific signs and symptoms.
Okay. Whew. Okay. So yeah, it's just so wild. Us women are complicated and heart health can get a little complicated. So I like that we're here to have some fun. But some prevention, like what can we do to prevent getting heart disease? Or, you know, just even, I think, you know, women get stressed. We multitask. We have, you know, family that we care for. We have jobs. We have all these different things. You know, every woman's different. But sometimes I feel like we carry the weight on the world. What would be an action step or a prevention tip that you can share for women this month going, hey, you know what? I'm going to at least do one thing. Because making change, sometimes if you try to do a whole change 100%, is really difficult. But if we can change one thing towards our heart health, what would you say?
I would say, I mean, of course, we've talked about this ad nauseum on the radio, and there are many things that you can do. But today we're going to pick one important thing. I say stop smoking. Smoking can increase your risk for heart attack by up to 30%. And just stopping that alone can improve your risk.
Okay, but wait. I have friends who said, I went from cigarettes to vaping and it's not as bad.
It's the same thing. I mean, granted, smoking has a lot of chemicals associated with it, because when you burn the cigarette, it releases, they say, about 600 chemicals that cause all kinds of medical problems. But vaping, minus the carcinogens or the cancer-causing toxic agents that it spills out, the nicotine is still harmful on the heart. So stop smoking, stop vaping, all of that.
They even say all those flavors people put in their little vaping thing makes them, that's actually cancer causing in a way, because it's chemicals. Those flavors are chemicals. So vaping itself is bad, because I always thought it was the actual smoke in your lungs that was killing you, not just the nicotine. I just thought the nicotine was like, yeah, I got it twirled around, man.
Ooh. Yeah, it's both. It's both. All of it. All of the above. So you just want to stop it all.
I have to say, I think this year will be like 25 years. It's over 20 years that I stopped smoking.
Oh, congratulations.
And how I did it. This is great. Thank you. Though how I did it, I drank tea. And I, for 2 to 3 weeks, I didn't see any friends that smoked. I didn't see anybody that drank alcohol.
Yes.
Because if you have, so I had to do it all at one time. And I drank tea, and you can get a little sick if you drink too much tea. I'm just saying, but peppermint tea was a cleanser, you know? And I drank tea, and I stayed away from everyone, and Nancy wanted to stay away from me. I'm just going to say that. Nancy did not want to be around me because I was not the happiest person.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, my health, your breathing. I was a singer at the time, too, professionally. And,
really?
As well as running the magazine, yes. And I will tell you this, if you are a singer, you are killing all those hairs.
Yes.
Those you cannot sing. And I interview singers, I mean, every week, and they will tell you need to stop smoking, because it will ruin your vocal cords. So if you do public speaking, you do Zoom, you do anything like that, you whatever you're doing in regards to inhaling does not help your speaking voice or your health and your vocal cords. So yeah,
Yes.
the stopping smoking thing is seems so hard. And but I have a friend who did use vaping to go and get out of smoking. So she just cut herself down every week. No, one less thing, one less, and she did it through
Yeah.
that. Everyone's
Oh, that's
different, but she did cut it. But what about marijuana? I got to bring this up because it's legal. I'm sorry, but it's true. You said no smoking, but it's legalized, right? In certain places, where all places are different, and I know
Yeah.
they're looking at it being declassified a little bit for more medical scientific research, which is pretty, I think that's important. Scientific research is important on all things. But if you smoke a joint like once a day or once a week or something, or smoke a cigar, right? Because whenever we say smoking, a lot of people first thing go to cigarettes, then vaping. But a cigar or smoking a joint or vaping marijuana, would that be considered a no-no too?
Well, unfortunately, there isn't a lot of medical data out there looking at specifically, marijuana use in patients with heart disease. So it's hard to know what the effects are. It's not only it may affect you with your heart disease, but also there are the medications that you have to take as a heart patient, and we don't know if marijuana interferes with them. So basically, it's unknown. So our guidelines, our society just says, if you are a heart patient on heart medicines, that you probably should not, use marijuana. But if you don't have anything, then, we can't recommend one way or the other because we just don't have the data.
But smoking it is not going to be healthy, and vaping it is not going to be healthy because of
Absolutely. We
the.
have a lot of data about that, about the association of smoking, nicotine, and the carcinogens involved with smoking, and its effects on the heart. There's lots of data about that, so that's just
That's it. But
unquestionable.
okay, so weed, we're not sure. So maybe this move to get this is weird how we have to declassify weed to be able to study it. Like, why can't doctors just be allowed to do it and scientists be allowed to do it? But then we have to declassify it to do it. It's weird, but I suppose it's the way it is. But just I think they'd make it a step down, but it's like weird because we have to
Yeah.
declassify it federally to do it. I know that that's happening
Right.
right now.
Right.
But it's interesting to me. The whole thing is interesting because what if it is really good and what if it's not? But cigar smoking, I see a lot of women who think it's cool to smoke a cigar. I remember some stat like one cigar is like 70 cigarettes. I don't know if that's still true or something, but cigars just for, oh, I'm just going to do it for one night. Can
Yeah,
that can
no. Yes, absolutely. It's also bad for your heart health. Definitely stop smoking cigars if you do smoke cigars. And
Is
using
it?
the hookah and all of those
Oh.
things are also bad for you. Actually, the hookah is worse because there are no filters, so you're getting the direct effect of these carcinogens in your body.
Okay, so the carcinogens come from the actual smoke itself. So that,
Yes.
whether it's pot, whether it's cigarettes, anything that you're smoking that has any kind of
That's
carcinogen,
burning. Yeah.
that's a no-no. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, what if you did smoke a big joint? You may be hungry. You might have the munchies. So let's go to food.
That's
I mean,
a good
I had to do something. Come on now.
transition.
Come on. I don't think you're going to say a brownie is going to be the next thing we want. But let's, we're not here to talk about pot. But if it is just what people, it is a changing thing in what's happening in our culture right now. That's why I think it's important.
Yes.
But let's talk about food. That's the thing. The first thing that happens, you start to look at maybe weight gain is not good for our health, right? Our heart health as women. So what would you say is something we can eat that we can feel okay about? Like, maybe we have to get rid of one thing to substitute with something else, But we just don't want to have like, here's your carrot every day. Can we do something other than here's your, I know celery is good for us, but like, can we do something a little bit more fun?
Yeah. Well, I mean, heart healthy eating is very important for your heart health. I know it's very difficult to, stop your usual health eating habits and switch completely to a healthy eating, but you can do it slowly, like, we talk about on this channel. So I would say you can start out by maybe substituting some of the fattening foods, the deep fried things, substituting your side dishes with vegetables, or making the vegetables your main meal and cutting back on the high fat protein. So instead of having the steak be the main meal, maybe the vegetable be the main meal, and then strips of, a smaller piece of steak on top of the vegetable. So you can start that way.
Or like if like I do like yeah, rotisserie chicken. No, go. You're
No.
gonna say do a broiled chicken breast instead?
Yes. Broiled chicken breast is better for sure.
Okay.
So you want to stay away from fried foods. Rotisserie chicken tends to have a lot of fat in it.
Oh.
So if you like chicken, you want to pick the healthier parts of the chicken, like the breast that has less
Okay.
fat.
Okay, because I do love a
But
good rotisserie chicken, and I'm just thinking, ooh. But then I could live on avocado. Now, do we have to be careful about avocado?
Well, everything in moderation. Avocado has healthier fats in it, which is good for you. But of course, you can't overly indulge in it because, overly
Okay.
indulging always leads to badness. So just
Well,
moderate
you're in
amounts of fat.
California, and y'all like avocado toast, and I don't, to me that is like the perfect breakfast. And then a lot of times some people will have an egg with the avocado toast, and now I'm going, isn't that a little double duty? Like Nancy's always like, no, Dr. Jackie says I shouldn't have it eggs every day. Like she does it, and maybe she just doesn't like the way I cook eggs, but I mean, are eggs like if you did egg and avocado every day for breakfast, that's not a good thing, right? Because that's two different fats.
Well, the eggs have protein in them, but the problem is the yolk has a lot of
Oh,
cholesterol. So
but that's a yummy.
if you have high cholesterol, then you probably should avoid the yolks, but you can eat the egg whites. So the egg whites would be the protein, and then the avocado would be, the fat,
And a
which helps
protein
you
drink,
feel
yeah.
more filled. Yeah. So
I
yeah,
love
you can
avocado.
you yeah. Just don't overly indulge. We always say moderate amounts is better for you.
Okay. And vegetables. Go vegetables first, the meat protein second. Like just
Yeah.
calm down on that. There's a movement called the reducitarian movement, and it's a because it's like not everybody can go vegetarian or vegan. Not everybody can do keto. Everybody's different.
Right.
And
Everyone's different.
the reduced, and also because it's like, again, like we're talking about, you can't just change everything overnight, right? So the
Yes.
reducitarian thing is they're like, if you're eating meat every night, try to do meat one night, second night, no, like
Yeah.
just slowly cut down. So maybe if you do 3 nights a week of meat, that's kind of balanced versus seven. And it's
I would
better for the
agree with that.
environment. Yeah, I
Yes,
think it's
I
kind of
would agree with
cool.
that. Yeah. You don't have to make drastic changes overnight. I mean, you can if you're able to, but it tends to not work for a lot of people and it tends to not be sustainable. So if you make little changes over time, it tends to be more sustainable.
And for women, maybe running the household and, feeding, husband and family, everyone's got a different family makeup. So don't go on me on that. Everyone's got a different family makeup. But if you're the person cooking the food and you want it to be healthier for yourself and you want to have that support too. So I would say maybe sit down with your family and say, hey, I want to be healthier. Can we do this together? But I promise not to
Yes.
give you all carrot sticks, Let's
Yeah.
make this fun,
No, I agree with that. I think even at that, you should be teaching your children how to eat healthy. Because if they start out, early in life learning about healthy eating, they're more likely to sustain it long term. So I think it's very important to make sure everybody's eating the same healthy, heart healthy meals.
Are you seeing any stats on? I hear about kids having diabetes so early. Like diabetes used to be like when I was in high school, that was, you know, we'd call that the old people's disease. Sorry, everyone, but that's what we did. That was like one of these elder things. Like if you get gout, it was like the rich person's disease. You know, there's all those terms. I'm not saying they were right, but that's what it was. And diabetes was only like, you only looked at people getting diabetes after middle age, like after their 50s. And now from what I'm seeing, it's like, it seems like diabetes is hitting younger and younger age brackets. So when you think about kids, are you seeing more kids getting diabetes, which leads to heart disease?
Yeah, that's what the statistics show. Obesity is on the rise, especially in the younger population. And with obesity comes all the risk factors for heart disease, to include diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol. So yeah, because of obesity. But now that we have these obesity drugs, we'll see what happens over time. It's going to take many months to get that data in. But yeah,
obesity
is...
drugs. I didn't know we had obesity drugs.
Well, the weight loss drugs, you know, like the Ozempics, there's so many of them out now to treat weight loss. So we might see a change in the next few months. I don't know, a few years, on the statistics of obesity in this country with the advent of all these anti-obesity drugs or weight loss drugs that have come out.
Isn't it like obesity is key? That is like a major thing.
Yes, it's
that
a major risk factor.
Okay.
It is a major risk factor for heart disease.
Okay, so now let's have some fun. What can we do? What can we do to have fun? And that we've got now, we know we can, you know, swap out the meat. We can do some things better for our food and not like go on the you know, carrot stick diet. We just make those little changes. So that's not so hard, right? So what can we do to improve our heart health that is fun, like an activity or just something that's going to, especially for women, that we can go out and say, okay, I'm doing something for my heart, but I also, I don't want it to be something where I wake up in the morning and go, I really don't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean, heart disease and maintaining a heart healthy lifestyle does not always have to be something that you dread because it's so difficult. You can make it fun. You can, you know, for your exercise, you could take a walk with friends, you know, gather some of your closest friends and take a walk, walk in the neighborhood. We always talk about that. We have, you know, walks in the parks or take a hike. Yeah, if you involve close friends and family and try to do this as often as you can, then that is always good for your health. And we know that the American Heart Association recommends 150 minutes of exercise in a week, moderate physical activity to improve your heart health. So this is something that you could do that's fun and also helps with your heart health.
Hey, Dr. Jackie, you know that May is National Walking Month. There's actually now a walking month as holiday. Is that not cool?
And that is wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I do a lot of dog walking and I can tell the difference. And I recommend people get dogs if they like dogs and will take care of them because you have to be physically fit with dogs and they will make you be physically fit. Go throw a ball, go walk the dog, you know, all of that. But when I walk dogs, you know, as we travel the country and pet sit, right? We're always in different neighborhoods and I see moms with their strollers and their dogs.
Yeah.
I see people jog with their dogs. You know, you're not going to get me jogging. You don't need to see that. No one wants to see that. But walking, you're like, okay, she's kind of trying here. But I see groups of women, like moms, all get together in neighborhoods and walk together. They'll have strollers. And you know they're gossiping, right? You know they're all going like, look at her garden. She did this. No, I just heard they did this with their house. We got to do something different. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. But it's also, but hey, walking your neighborhood
is fun.
Actually,
yeah.
It's fun and it's a good thing to know what's going on in your neighborhood. And
absolutely.
If you can't walk your neighborhood, go to a local park. And that's why we do what we do in our parks tours, to document parks. So people are connected. If you go to these places, you're connecting with your community. And if you don't have a park, start advocating for one and talking to your city because your taxpayer dollars go to that kind of thing. So
it's,
that's the thing is like, get out there. I mean, I love all these trails that we're getting. I know you're in Southern California, Dr. Jackie, out in Orange County area. I mean, you guys have a lot of trails. You're active.
We
Southern
have a
California.
Lot of,
yeah. A lot of
walking trails, bike trails, hiking trails. Yeah. So many opportunities to do physical activity and to get to know your neighbors. Get to know what's going on in your neighborhood by walking around. Yeah, absolutely.
Check out the gardens. It's spring. And what you were saying too, you know, going with a group of people, doesn't that help us stick to, like, if you have a walking time, like three times a week, right? If we did three walks a week, that would be our 150, or we could do four, you know, whatever you need to do to split it up. But if you had someone to walk with, or you have a dog, like, or
yes,
dogs.
And I, yes, an accountability partner. Accountability partners are always good.
I
And
love it.
yeah, you're more likely to maintain that, you know, routine if you had somebody that was depending on you to show up.
I like it. I like it. And hey,
Yes.
everyone, next month is National Outdoors, Get Outdoors Month. So I'm just saying, we can start building up our neighborhoods and then go hiking, like a good hike out in a park next month. See? Camping, you know, that kind of thing's fun. Going to
Yeah, sounds like fun.
an all girls getaway camping. You could go glamping. You don't have to rough it, but you could go glamping. Have you got, you went, you've been glamping, haven't you? In South Africa and Africa, you've traveled all over.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could call it glamping. Yeah, glamping, not quite camping, but yes, glamping.
It's
Absolutely.
fun. It's
It
fun.
is fun.
Do it with your friends. It's easier. Thank you, Dr. Jackie. We can't wait for next month. Everyone, again, this is the first episode. And of course, there's other episodes with Dr. Jackie that you can find in the show notes. And honestly, every second Wednesday, we're here to have fun with Heart Health, because we need to have fun to make a positive change. Let's make it fun. Because, you know, especially if you just came home and your doctor said, hey, you got heart disease, you got to do all these things, it can be frightening, but we don't want you to be frightened. We want you to take action and have fun doing it so that you can take that shift and not be part of the percentage of the top disease of the country at all. We don't want that. So let's have fun. Thank you, Dr. Jackie.
Well, thank you. It was fun as always.
Thanks for joining us on Big Blend Radio's Heart Healthy Living Show with Dr. Jackie. New episodes air every second Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can keep up with Dr. Jackie at womenandheartdiseasebook.com. Listen to the shows at bigblendradio.com.